நீங்கள் SBS தமிழோடு இணைந்துள்ளீர்கள்.
Following the groundbreaking international success of Counting and Cracking, S. Shaktidharan's The Jungle and the Sea, which premiered in 2022, is about overcoming loss, finding love, and forging a path to justice interwoven with untold stories of the Sri Lankan Civil War. It's currently playing in Sydney before touring in Canberra and Melbourne. The play's writer and co-director, S. Shaktidharan, talks to me, Kulasekaram Sanchayan, about the work, his recent award, and his next venture. Vanakkam, Shaktidharan.
Vanakkam, Sanjayan.
We are meeting again to talk about your play, The Jungle and the Sea, which you are staging in Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra.
For yes, those, we are. Pleasure to be here.
For those who have not heard of it, what is it about?
The Jungle and the Sea is about a family living in Jaffna in 1995, and then an incident happens in the war which splits them between Australia and Sri Lanka. And over the next 15 years, they live parallel lives. It takes us through to the end of the Sri Lankan Civil War and what happened then, and then looks at how the family that got split can eventually reconcile back in Sri Lanka in the present day. Ultimately, it's about a family still trying to find their dignity and stay alive, survive. The world is falling down around them.
In the playbill, you have described that you have taken elements from Mahabharata and Antigone, where Antigone defies the king to bury her brother. And in your play, there's a character that defies the authorities to have a burial for her brother. There is also a Tamil character called Kannagi in Silaparidigaram, where a Tamil woman demands justice from a Tamil king. Wonder why you chose to go with Antigone and not Kannagi.
The plot of Kannagi to bury her brother?
No, right, okay. So that...
In Antigone, the character defies the rulers of the day in order to bury a member of their family. So that really struck me as how close that was to what happened at the end of the civil war in Sri Lanka, where those who were members of the LTTE weren't allowed to be given their proper burial rights. And it just spoke to me about how ancient that problem has been across many different places, but also the way Sophocles writes, he wrote Antigone, it's so direct and is so clear. And it gave me a way in to write directly and clearly about this in a Sri Lankan context. Whereas I think without that kind of permission from the ancient, sometimes you can get very caught up in the complexity of the present day. There's a line in Sophocles where the person points to themselves who's going to do the burial rites and says, me, dead, and then points to her sister and says, you, alive. You know, and so that kind of absolute getting to the heart of it that Sophocles was able to do really appealed to me, opened up my writing.
The war ended in 2009, and there are still mothers searching for their sons and protests that happened in Sri Lanka, still looking for the dead to give a proper burial. Have you come across anyone lost the loved ones attending your play, and what has their reaction been?
Oh, those who have been through that have seen the play. I think there's been a great gratefulness that the issue is being spoken about still and brought to a wider audience. And I think that we will need to keep applying pressure to the Sri Lankan government for as long as it takes until we can get more information about this. I think there's also a way that theatre can allow people to have space to process that. It's a very specific set of feelings because you've lost someone, but you're also not sure if they're alive or not. And you want to hold on to the hope that they are alive, but more than anything, you want closure. And not knowing either way is so painful. And so I think to be able to see that happen for this family and to feel less alone in that feeling is really important as well. And I guess the last thing to say is I think a lot of audiences who don't grow up in these communities or who do but don't know about the issues properly forget about this issue. There's so much said about what the Sri Lankan army did or what the Tigers did, which is important and critical to look at, but often we don't spend enough time on the stories of those who and to keep their families together and the stories of those who are trying to find out what happened to their family members who are involved in the fight. And it's really nice to be able to tell a story which focuses on those people instead of necessarily the combatants.
Talking about wider audience, you have been recognized for your work with Wyndham Campbell Prize, which is Judge Blind. you are nominated in secret. What does it mean to be chosen by strangers who had no reason to care?
I think it's incredible. That's the part of it that I find the most amazing, that they didn't know about me and weren't familiar with my work. There hasn't been a Sri Lankan who's won that prize before. There hasn't been a South Asian migrant who's won that prize before. And the winners of that prize are some of the greatest writers in English language history. So for them to choose a collection of work that focuses on what happened in Sri Lanka, but also the migration stories to Australia, allows our stories to become part of a lineage of what the great stories that have been told are. And I think that's, I was shocked at how much that meant to people when it was announced. I forget sometimes how much it means to people. And it just means ultimately that we matter and that our stories matter. And it opens up the door for a lot of other people who work in similar areas to feel like what they do is more important than institutions often let them feel like it is. So yeah, it's had a massive impact. And it's very, very beautiful to know that it all came just from the stories themselves and the writing, and that spoke for itself and was strong enough on its own.
Where were you when you received the announcement, and who did you share this news with, and what was your feeling?
I was in Sri Lanka. I'm currently in the midst of making a feature film, and it's half set in Sri Lanka, half in Australia. And we were in the middle of our Sri Lankan shoot when I found out. I didn't tell anyone immediately, because apart from my partner, because we were in the middle of a shoot and we had to work, as is often the case for me. And then I told some people of the cast and crew who I was close to a little bit later, and they got angry at me for not telling them immediately.
And that feature film, you said, that also relates to the same storyline?
Yeah, it's another Sri Lankan Australian epic, and goes more into the post-war story than anything I've done before does. It starts in 1995, but then goes through into how people in the Vanni are rebuilding after the war, particularly the women's cooperatives. And it goes further, I guess, in the Australian storyline for the journey it takes to build belonging here and exploring what it means to, we might have the comforts of the West here, but also with that comes a kind of difficulty to build the same kind of community and connection to the land that we had back in Jaffna and the Vanni. And you know, to find belonging here in the same way that we have belonging to the Sri Lankan soil is really difficult. So the film looks at both of those things and ultimately celebrates the way that sometimes life surprises you and you can find belonging in places you never expected. And that happens to both the key characters in the film in Sri Lanka and Australia.
Have you got a date in mind for release?
Sometime next year.
Right.
Nothing more specific than that yet. It's too early to say.
You started Curious Works in 2003, I think, but your first play opened in 2019, 16 years.
Yeah.
You had opened doors for not just other Tamils, but also South Asians at large. What would you tell parents who discourage their children from moving away from the standard medicine, engineering, accounting, or law?
I think that it's important to take up the challenge of finding a way to make those jobs financially sustainable. I understand that it comes from a place of love to discourage our children from coming to those career paths because we're worried about their financial insecurity. But a community that doesn't have its storytellers is a community that eventually dies in its soul and its spirit. And we are, I think, ready now. We've been in Australia long enough to not only talk about ourselves through ceremonial Hindu events or other religious events, you know, Muslim or Buddhist or Christian, or necessarily the traditional arts. I mean, all of that obviously is so wonderful and should continue, but I think we're ready as a community to actually start telling stories about ourselves and who we are and all the different perspectives we have, whether or not they're in opposition or not, and to celebrate them all. And we can't do that unless we allow our children to take on different sorts of careers. And so my advice would be try and support them on the one hand to follow their dreams, because ultimately that's going to give them the best chance of being themselves and not growing up resentful and growing up flourishing. But on the other hand, there's no need for them to pursue that without any kind of responsibility. We all have to figure out a way to pursue that and still do what we need to do in this capitalist world. And so we, as a community, I'm sure we can find a way to take very seriously the job of storytelling and also make it into a viable career. We've done that bigger miracles in setting up in more places around the world with nothing in our pockets before. So we can do it again now and expand the kinds of jobs we're working in.
I think I read Kurunji exists to build pathways for emerging artists. Can you name one who is a Tamil Australian or a South Asian Australian who we should be watching, who nobody has heard of?
Oh, who would that be? I mean, that's, if I did mention one, Sanjay, then the others would get upset at me. I think the way I would answer that is to say that, you know, Eamon Flack, who makes these shows with me, he's the artistic director of Belvoir and has seen the best actors in the country and some of the best actors in the world and works in this business. The ensemble that's come together for Counting and Cracking and The Jungle and the Sea, they're in the film as well. You know, Eamon regularly calls them some of the best actors in the world and some of his favorite actors to work with. And so these are people who, some of them are famous in South Asia and in movies or plays in Sri Lanka and India, but others are people from Australia who just never been given the opportunity before. And when you come and see these plays and you see the young Australians coming up through this, they've been given an opportunity to show their best and they're world class. And so I think it just goes to prove that Australia doesn't even come close to tapping its potential in these industries. And when we keep the opportunity so small to such a small group of people from particular communities and particular postcodes in Australia, we're reducing our overall economic output, our overall potential. We're limiting our cultural imagination. And Counting and Cracking's been to New York. It's been to the UK. So you think about some of the young people in these plays, they are still 19 or 20 and performing on some of the world's biggest stages. And so that just goes to show how much potential is in our community if given the opportunity.
Thank you for that. Jungle and the Sea, where can one go to see that? And
So we opened in Sydney. So from now to the end of July, you can see The Jungle and the Sea at Belvoir Street Theatre, which is in Surrey Hills. And then first week of August, you can see it in Canberra at the Canberra Centre Theatre. Then from mid-August through to late September, you can see it in Southbank with the Melbourne Theatre Company in Melbourne. And it sold out last time. We put it on in 2022. It's a big epic work with live Carnatic music, 8 actors. And it's a kind of miracle, really, that we get to stage it. And we've had so far with full houses and standing ovations. And it's a really beautiful work. And we'd love to see a big Tamil audience come along to it as well.
Thank you very much, Shaktidharan, for your time. And we wish you all the very best for this production and your future endeavors. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sanjay. Really appreciate it. Great to talk to you.
இது போன்ற மேலும் பல நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்க வேண்டுமா? Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify என்று podcast கிடைக்கும் பல வழிகளில் நீங்கள் நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்கலாம்.